Welcome to What We Believe and Why with Reverend Dr. George Byron Koch. For the next 30 minutes, we're inviting you to join Pastor George as he peels back the layers of confusion, of denominational struggles and doctrinal wars, and presents theology in a way you may not have experienced it in the past. Reverend Dr. George Byron Koch is pastor and teacher at Resurrection Church in West Chicago, Illinois, and the author of the book, What We Believe and Why. We hope you find the following moments inspirational. Let's get started. Here's Pastor George.
There is a God. It's not you. Now, this might seem trivial and basic to a lot of folks, might seem like overreaching to others and exactly wrong to some. But I begin with it because the Christian faith starts with this belief that there is a God. And it sees the testimony, which we call the Old and the New Testaments, as the narrative, the inspired narrative, and the revelation of this belief and of the God who inspired it. God manifested in history. God manifests now, today. And our understanding of this, of His life with us, His life in this world, His life through us, and all of the implications of that, and our response to it, that's the content of what we call theology, and it's the content of our life in Christ, even of all human life. And whether it sounds trivial to some people or not, it's the foundation on which everything rests. It's sufficient for some, but for Christians, it's the beginning, and much follows from it. Theology is just a description of it. Now, this book that we are studying together is called What We Believe and Why. And the purpose is to lay out the basics of what Christians believe, the origins of those beliefs, arguments for and against them, in order that we might each of us have a well-reasoned and foundational explanation of our faith, but without being either tediously basic or hyper-academic. And so the idea is we will cover the key ideas and doctrines of the faith, but we'll avoid specialized jargon, we'll avoid denominational particulars. This is a primer on what we believe and why we believe it. Somehow, we each of us need to get through theories about the faith to the living of faith. Yet just exactly what that means isn't always clear. And we Christians today, we are so surrounded by theologies, opinions, denominational fights, schisms, Christians behaving badly, and the media's caricature of Christians that we often are no longer sure what we believe or why we believe it, or if it's even worth the bother. And even on matters of faith that we may feel strongly about, there is often a challenging, opposing voice, sometimes quite sarcastic, too often from other Christians, that attacks what seems precious and vital to us. It might help to know that this is not new. One of the early theologies of the church against Celsus was written because the ideas of Christianity were attacked as silly and insubstantial by the Greek philosopher Celsus. More on this and him later. And as Christians, we regularly face withering and condescending opposition, at least some of which we've brought on ourselves. And at the same time, we ourselves often defend vigorously those things that we're least certain about, or worse, those things that may not really be important in God's eyes, but that someone else has loudly insisted are essential. So what really matters and what doesn't? That question is rarely asked. As a result, Christians spend at least as much time fighting with each other as they do sharing the good news. We get hugely distracted about being right and someone else being wrong, and end up debating beliefs rather than loving and serving God and neighbor. Now, this doesn't mean doctrines or theologies are irrelevant, but it shows that they are often treated as more important than the things that really matter most. I'm going to try to work through all of this, a bit like cleaning up a messy living room, straightening things out, vacuuming up the dust, throwing away the old magazines and candy wrappers. In the course of this book, in the course of What We Believe and Why, in the course of this radio program, in the course of this audio, I will try to answer these two questions. What do we believe and why? And what matters and what doesn't? Both of these questions are huge. They open up issues of the Christian faith that are deeply important and utterly unsettling. And we will dive into both as fearlessly as we can. In a sense, this is Christian theology. But my purpose here is not simply to add religious concepts to our brains. The goal isn't just to know more about God, but rather to know God more. One of the challenges of any theological work is knowing how miserably incomplete it will be. And this has some stunning implications for our life with God, and we'll unpack these as we go. For the moment, I'm chastened by the life of Thomas Aquinas. He lived from 1225 to 1274. He's one of the fathers of the church. And Aquinas predated the Protestant Reformation, and by most any measure, was one of the most brilliant people who ever lived. His writings are respected by both Protestants and Roman Catholics. Even the Orthodox Church has commended parts of them. Aquinas wrote the Summa Theologica, the Summary of Theology, so people could understand the essence of theology. His summary is over 3,500 pages long, and it's extraordinary in its depth and detail, the topics covered, and the care with which they are explained and defended. Toward the end of his life, Aquinas had a personal experience of the Holy Spirit. After that experience, he looked back at his own Summa Theologica and said all he had written was straw. The work he did was extraordinary to human eyes. But in the end, he understood a relationship with the living God was fundamentally the purpose of our creation, rather than the detailing of theological issues. No matter how true or profound his theological concepts were, they paled in comparison to an actual relationship with God, that is, with the covenant Jesus offered, with life in Christ. As a foundational principle, then, we will do theology, which loosely translated is God talk, knowing that our purpose is not only to understand God in a reasoned and logical way, or to spot counterfeits of the faith when they try to divert us, but also to put us on a journey that will find or rediscover or deepen our own relationship, our own covenant with God. It will begin with some basic theology, but only to give background and language that will help us move beyond where we began, and beyond where the faith has become entangled in itself and made a mess. Take the time with me, if you would, to put this background and language, these basic concepts in place. Then we will move together beyond them. That, at least, is my dearest hope. And before we go on, there are any number of common Christian beliefs that I will reject or defend, about which others who are well regarded in the church have taken a different view. Oh well, my efforts will always be to be orthodox, simple, plain. To maintain right teaching while being true to Jesus. I will also likely be a little feisty and wry as we progress. And some of my illustrations and examples will come from far afield, even mathematics and science fiction. I hope these will be curiously illuminating and even fun. We should enjoy the journey, even when it is challenging. But know that I won't teach something I don't believe, and in all things we should discern the Spirit. We should be alert, prayerful, ready to go to Scripture, and willing to use the wonderful minds and hearts with which our Creator has gifted us. Listen closely and test what I say with Scripture. Test what I say with the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, we're off and running with what we believe and why. Going to take a short break and come back as Pastor George begins to unwrap where we're going to be heading in the coming days. We hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to What We Believe and Why with Reverend Dr. George Byron Koch. Well, we're underway as Pastor George begins to unwrap theology, to make it accessible, to make it portable, to make it applicable to our lives today. And it's not something that happens quickly. We're glad you're joining us. Let's get back to it. Here's Pastor George.
So here's the outline of what we're going to be doing together. Our journey builds in depth and content, chapter by chapter, session by session, as we spend time together. And the truth is that some of the insights of later chapters will be hard to comprehend without the foundation laid early on. It's probably best not to skip ahead, but take the journey step by step. We'll begin by carefully defining essentials and non-essentials of the faith. Look at life in Christ and the elements it contains: salvation, sanctification, and glorification. These together make up our covenant with Him, our relationship. We'll look at what salvation means according to Jesus and whether it is possible to lose it. We'll actually ask why we might even bother to be good, and the challenges of living with other believers who, frankly, are sometimes such a pain, and living with unbelievers, people with other religions or no religion at all. Then we will begin to go deeper and wider, perhaps beyond your comfort zone, as we look into common issues of the faith, their basis in Scripture and the history of the church, how they have separated us or drawn us together, and how we can understand each other's Christian faith traditions and concepts, even across significant divides. We'll study prayer in some depth and probably upset a lot of preconceived ideas about what it is and how it is done properly. And be patient here. There's a lot to learn. Then we'll begin to study the law, a hot topic of both the Old and New Testament writers, and a topic of hot debate even today. This will lead to some revelation about obedience and love, some surprises here, and will challenge some magical thinking that rears its head in religious moments. From there, we will dive into covenant. This may well be the most important part of our exploration. Covenant is a word not much used in Christian churches, and probably even less understood than used. But it is the key theme of all of Scripture, and the key relationship that God initiates with us, beginning all the way back in Genesis. Hang on during this. It will be high adventure. We'll then consider the nature and meaning of faith. It might not be exactly what we've grown up thinking it is. We'll let Scripture shed light on it for us. When faith begins, when we enter into covenant, in our relationship with God, three astonishing gifts are given to us: peace, mercy, and the breath of life. They are the center, the power store, to lift and carry us through this troubled world. We are not left on our own to our own devices, but guided and energized by the One who made us and called us into relationship, called us into covenant. Next, we will learn about heresy. Heresy is a common accusation thrown by Christians toward Christians with whom they disagree, especially when they think the other one has their doctrine wrong. But wrong doctrine isn't what heresy actually means. And so we'll learn what it means, and then how and when it has arisen in the church. This helps to protect us from being fooled by counterfeits of the faith. Next, Trinity. Why is it that we assert there is one God who consists of three persons? Even on the face of it, this is a challenging concept. How can it be? What does it mean? And how certain can we be of its actual substance? This is not a question new in the church, and many have wrestled with it for many years, actually many centuries. What can we understand from this important concept? We'll find out. Bible authority follows. What authority does Scripture have in our individual lives and in the life of the church? Why? What can and should we assert about it, and on what basis? If the Bible is just another book of advice among many others, then we have a serious problem. On the other hand, if we assert things about it, about the Bible, that it doesn't even assert about itself, or that have their origins from outside of the faith, then we also have a serious problem. So this will require deep thought and prayer. As we begin heading toward the end of this hard, and I hope gratifying and exciting work, we must grapple with a significant problem in the church: religious concepts. As plainly as I can say it, this is a really big deal. It is critical to knowing who we are in Christ and what is not necessary to that. I won't tease this out here, but suffice it to say that some things we cling to and love about the church and the faith are actually not essential to it, and have their origins in another culture altogether. They are not automatically wrong or bad, but they need to be seen for what they are. Knowing this will remove a significant impediment to reconciliation. The church in our time and over history has struggled at love and unity. We have split and split again so many times it has made us and the world watching us dizzy. Whether the issues were important or not, essential or not, needs to be looked at fiercely, plainly, severely. We will do just that. Finally, we will engage what Jesus and Scripture teach about how to reconcile, how to find unity, and on what that unity can and must be founded. Whatever you do, if you desire to read the book or spend time here in these sessions, don't put it down until you have read or heard the final three chapters. Please. They are the key to the future, and whether each of us will be an instrument of the unity for which Jesus prayed, or an instrument of continuing division. I honestly hope that you will work your way to those final three chapters by studying the earlier ones first, listening to the earlier sessions first. There is a lot of careful foundation building done that will help to deeply comprehend those final chapters. My hope is that then you will share the book, share the sessions, invite people to listen to the sessions together, give it away, and share what has been gained from it with other believers and non-believers. I pray that it will be a true seed that will produce 20, 30, or 100-fold of new fruit. If you actually have a copy of the book, What We Believe and Why, at the back you'll find an extensive glossary plus of terms used in the book, a large bibliography and recommended reading list, some funny and relevant humor, and an exhaustive index to the topics that have been covered. The Glossary Plus is nearly a book in itself, and it goes into significant detail on the key terms in English, Greek, and Hebrew that are found throughout the chapters. I commend it for reading even on its own, but especially if something is unclear when you first encounter it. And some topics are actually expanded there that are only touched upon in the text. I hope that you will find the adventure a worthy one, and I ask God's blessing upon you and your journey. Let's begin. Essentials and Non-Essentials. The 17th century Lutheran Peter Meiderlin once said this: "We would be in the best shape if we kept in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in both charity." This is an extremely valuable and effective touchstone for our journey. So let's define the terms with precision and then use that precision to our benefit as we proceed. This will prove valuable. An essential is something that is necessary, utterly required for something to be effective, true, or real. You may recall this expression from mathematics: if and only if. If and only if. That defines an essential. A non-essential may be profoundly important, may be valuable or highly regarded, but it is not necessary, not required. This is a critical distinction. Liberty means that we do not force others to conform to our practices or beliefs on issues that are non-essential. And charity means that we treat others with respect and love even when we disagree or differ on either essentials or non-essentials. So just to review that quickly, an essential is something necessary, utterly required, if and only if. A non-essential might be really important or not, valuable or not, highly regarded or not, but it's not necessary, not required. And so the distinction between an essential and a non-essential is critical. And liberty means that we don't force others to be just like us, to conform to our practices or beliefs or doctrines or traditions, especially on things that are non-essential. And charity finally means that we treat all of them, whether those who agree or disagree on essentials or non-essentials, we treat all of them with respect and love. And so let's look further into the distinctions between the essentials and the non-essentials.
Thank you, Pastor George. Well, in coming programs, we'll continue to explore essentials, non-essentials, liberty, and charity. And Pastor George will apply them to your understanding of theology. I know I'm looking forward to it. Reverend Dr. George Byron Koch is pastor and teacher at Resurrection Church in West Chicago, Illinois. He's written numerous articles for magazines ranging from the Wall Street Journal to Christianity Today. If you'd like to get a copy of What We Believe and Why, it's available for purchase or download at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. We hope you'll check it out. And we hope you'll join us next time for another edition of What We Believe and Why.